Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So the Patriots got a huge win Sunday night over the Chiefs, and that vaulted them to number two in the newest USA Today power rankings. They still trail the Rams, who are the only undefeated team in the league. Both teams are road favorites this week, with the Patriots in Chicago and the Rams in San Francisco. We're joined by former Seahawks defensive end Cliff Averill is back with us today. Yes. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So who is better right now, Rams or Patriots?
Well, obviously the Rams are playing good ball, but I still think the Patriots are a better team.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And the reason I think so, one, Tom Brady's the GOAT. I know. Y'all tend to have issues with that.
It's okay. You're just staying
But Tom is the GOAT, man. He's still putting up crazy numbers.
He is.
And then on top of that, Sonny Michel, my Haitian partner, he's running the ball extremely well. So, and Tom, I don't think over the years have actually had a consistent running back. So once you add that dynamic to it, that team just became that much better. With the Rams, a couple weeks ago, we kind of seen the Seahawks kind of put a chink in their armor a little bit. I noticed that if you run the ball extremely well with those guys, if you run the ball against those guys and you slow Todd Gurley down, your possibilities of winning that game goes up tremendously. I mean, Todd Gurley only had 77 yards, and you've seen how close that game was. Mm-hmm. But now when Todd puts up these crazy numbers, their offense opens up tremendously. So that's why I feel like the Patriots are a little better than the Rams.
Well, I don't think you can go wrong. I mean, I get it. The Rams, the Patriots, New Orleans, all those guys, Kansas City right there. But I went to the Rams for the very reason. I believe right now, if you had to vote, Todd Gurley would probably be the MVP of the league. Lead the league in rushing, lead the league in touchdowns, lead the league in yards from scrimmage. He's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Running the football, catching the ball out of the backfield. They're dynamic. They're as explosive. They're not as quick strike as Kansas City.
Yeah.
But when Cooks and Kupp and Robert Woods, they get it going, they're as good as advertised. It's really close. I think the thing is that when we look at the top four teams, Skip, be it the Rams, New England, the Saints, Kansas City, all of them have flaws. Defensively, their defenses are liabilities. Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of pressure on their offenses, mainly the quarterback because he's in charge, to score a bunch of points. And all these teams can. But if you give me, say, okay, a neutral site, I'm probably going to take the Rams right now. Now, ask me this 2 weeks from now or a month from now, it might be a difference. But I'm going to give it to the Rams because they are unbeaten and they played really, really well thus far.
Mm-hmm. So, if we're talking defense, the Rams have a much better defense than the Patriots do because the Patriots I watched on Sunday night gave up 31 in the second half to Mahomes and company. Mm-hmm. The one thing that has surprised me about the Rams' defense is they're not taking the ball away and they're not sacking the quarterback. Yeah. They're way down the list. They're 28th in takeaways and 22nd in sacks. So it's not like they're dominating people where they're terrorizing people, but are they? Yeah, they're really good. They're solid on defense. So the edge to me, to your point, is Brady's offense. And something has happened sort of under the radar for the last 3 weeks. Josh Gordon joined that team, and all of a sudden, even though it wasn't all about him and his production, just his mere presence on the field has changed everything for this offense. Now, Edelman came back 2 games ago, so now you have Edelman and Josh Gordon. And I was upset, as you know, on Monday with Brady and Josh Gordon weren't on the same page on Sunday night. There are a lot of back shoulders where he just didn't get it. They haven't figured that all out yet.
He almost got a pick thrown
with
Josh.
But the point is, all of a sudden, Tom Brady has a potential nuclear weapon at the wideout that he hasn't had like that since Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. Yep. So all of a sudden, it's changing the whole dynamic because they've gone 3 straight games on offense going 38, 38, and 43. And to your point, your brother, Sonny Michel, all of a sudden, he just got off, man. I mean, he's been running wild. He's averaged 105 yards on the ground in those 3 games. Mm-hmm. He's gone 112, 98, 106. Well, that's pretty good because I didn't see that coming. But all of a sudden, because you got Josh Gordon and then you bring back Edelman, whoosh, the field gets spread out.
It's and a whole different offense.
They have taken off.
I believe, here's the thing. I don't believe that there's anybody coming back for the New England Patriots on the defensive side of the football that's going to make them any better.
I don't
better.
Either.
I believe when Tlaib comes back for the Rams.
I would agree.
Now, all of a sudden, they can play a lot more man-to-man coverage.
I would agree.
In which they can, you know, because they feel they can hold up. Mm-hmm. Peters going to take – Peters will get better. I still believe he's banged up with that – I think he had an ankle injury a couple of weeks ago. But they'll get better on that side of the ball. So, like I said, it's really close. Yeah. I mean, New Orleans is going to have a say in this. Kansas City, if Justin Houston can come back, it's just hard to count on Eric Berry, Skip, because that heel, we don't know because he had that Achilles injury. Mm. So we don't know if and when. I'm just going to say Justin Houston, who can go opposite of D-Ford that can add some pressure. So now maybe that brings them back because offensively, Kansas City takes a backseat to no one. Mm-hmm. they take a backseat to no one.
Yeah.
My thing is, I reiterate what you said with Tom and Co is, okay, you got Gronk. You got some of these other key pieces that are playing at a high level, and then you add Sony to that dynamic. Because Tom hasn't really had a solid running back for a long time.
Yep.
So if Sony can come along, I mean, their offensive playbook just opens up tremendously. And then Tom, I just feel like he's never out of a game. You come fourth quarter, you know, he's dissecting some stuff. So,
you saw it up close and personal, right?
I seen it personally,
you're up
exactly.
24-14, right?
Yeah, but it would have helped if y'all could have got some points on the offensive end, in the fourth quarter, huh? But no, Cliff, go ahead and do your play. I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but I'm just saying if you'd have scored 3 points.
Score, yes, of course, if you could score it, I agree with that. But what I'm saying as far as for Tom, and you can't discredit what he's just consistently doing that to a lot of teams.
Yes.
Even great defenses like the Seahawks had. So when you put all that together, I think Tom has the longevity, one, experience. And we all know the NFL is a long season. So all these teams that we're high up on right now, come week 10, week 11, two or three of those might be on the bottom half of what we're thinking now, right? So, but with Tom, you know they're always going to be at the top in that conference.
The thing that serves everybody well is that New Orleans, they play in a dome. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, one of the teams they play in a dome. Kansas City, they're used to playing outside in the elements because they play in Kansas City and they have to go. They've already gone to Denver. The Rams, they're in L.A. So weather really is not going to be these teams that would not be like, well, let's see what happens when the weather turns bad. These guys are either in a dome or they play in a situation where they're used to the weather in L.A. I mean, what's bad weather here, Skip? 60 degrees?
Mm-hmm. But what about when they go on the road, though? I mean, you're so used to this great weather. What about you go to Seattle and it's raining?
Well, they already beat Seattle in Seattle. Then go to Arizona. Nice weather there. They get the 49ers.
Yeah.
And they get 49ers with C.J. Beathard.
Mm.
So. That is true.
As much as I respect the job that Jared Goff has done, just sort of coming of age, because he's third in this league in QBR, to your point, neutral site, do I want Jared Goff or Tom Brady? I think I'm taking Tom Brady in that game.
Of course. Of course. The experience, the length. I mean, this man talking about playing until he's 45, he's been doing it so consistent. We don't know what Jared's playing good ball, don't get me wrong, but – you know, the hardest thing to do in the NFL is be consistent. So we got to see what he can bring.
Well, he got 1 year up on his belt. He played well last year. He's doing off to a good start this year. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. But old Wade Phillips know how to dial that thing up with Tom Brady now. You know, he knows how to get him.
Yep.
No, he gets after him for sure.
You got to.
By the way, how close did you come to get him in that fourth quarter of that Super Bowl? Did you ever get close to him?
Well, I got hurt actually in the first half. So so that was a big
part. So you got hurt. So Sherm was hurt. Yeah. Cam was hurt. Earl was hurt. Y'all lost.
Tell the whole story.
I'm glad you brought that up. Well, go ahead. Tell us all the injuries that you guys had. Because I know Sherm had the torn elbow.
Sherm was banged up. Well, we lost Jeremy Lane in the first half as well. So we lost a lot of players in that first half.
Cam was playing with a sprained MCL. Earl tore his labrum.
Yep. So we were missing a lot of guys. That first half, we were getting after him. That first half, we were getting after him.
Scam! You didn't tell me this.
He don't speak on that.
Scam! You didn't tell me. You knew this? Did you know this man didn't play this?
I did not know that.
Yes, I watched the second half in the locker room. So
what happened?
I got a concussion in that game.
You got a concussion?
So yeah.
From hitting what? Who?
No, I got blindsided actually by a running back on the chip block. Y'all were having that debate with quarterbacks not being able to get hit. I agree with Shannon. That's why they can play till they're 45, because they're not getting hit. They're not getting hit. You ain't got to worry about that.
But Tom Brady's the GOAT, so we got that.
He is the GOAT. You can't take that. No. But also being able to play till he's 45, that's only because he's a quarterback. And they're protected very well.
He may play 50 just to haunt you.
Don't worry about Aaron Rodgers going to be right there with it. Aaron Rodgers the GOAT right now.
Is he?
Yep.
Well, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt a lot, though.
You know
what? He still gets hurt.
But he's tough, though, because he ain't missing too many games.
Cliff, thank you for being here. Good to have the context of the story. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first, I wanted to talk to you about one of our sponsors. If you're like me, you know that navigating the stock market can be daunting. Fortunately, there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an app that makes buying and selling stocks, options, cryptos, and more simple and intuitive. With data presented in an easy-to-digest way, Robinhood is a non-intimidating method for stock market newcomers to invest with confidence. And here's the best part. Not only is Robinhood easy to use, it's all commission-free. That's right, no commission fees. Other brokerages can charge you up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood allows you to trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Even better, Robinhood is giving Undisputed listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Just sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. That's undisputed.robinhood.com to start investing today. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. So the Giants are an absolute mess right now. They're at the bottom of the NFC East at 1-5, and Odell Beckham Jr. is making headlines for the wrong reasons. He called out Eli Manning in the play calling over a week ago, and then he headbutted a cooling fan and walked to the locker room against Philly before the first half was over. Giants co-owner John Mayer was asked about Odell yesterday, and he did not hold back. Take a listen.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking.
All right, Shannon, do you like Mayer saying this?
No, because he could have took that same stance with Eli. I wish Eli would create more headlines positively on the field as opposed to headlines for his inability to throw the football down the field. You see how he really soft-stepped Eli? Well, you know, everybody needs to play better. But he was very, very harsh in his critique of Odell. Well, John Mara, Odell is who you thought he was. Now, I agree.
Or who he didn't think he was.
No, he knew who he was. Well. Now, you did not think Odell should have got his money. I did because I thought he had worn it. He had outperformed his rookie contract. But you know what comes along with this, Skip? Mm-hmm. If he was like this before he got his money, you guarantee that money, you even emboldened him. I tell people this all the time. Money never changes a person. It just makes you more of what you already are. Mm-hmm. If you're a butthole and you don't have any money, they give you some money, you're a gaping one. It's as simple as that, Skip. I wish it was a better way I could give you, but there's not. Mm-hmm. But Odell plays a dependent position, mm-hmm. which means that in order for him to have success on the field, his quarterback needs to have success.
Sure.
Eli's been terrible. Mm-hmm. And I know his offensive line has been terrible. But let me tell you who else's offensive line has been terrible, Skip. Do you know Deshaun Watson has been sacked 25 times? Does he look like Eli? Hmm. I'm going to tell you two guys. Eli's been sacked 20 times. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson right behind him with 19. Do they look like Eli? Hmm. Matt Ryan has been sacked 17 times. Do he look like Eli? Hmm. Absolutely not. So guess what? Eli's offensive line. Eli is terrible. See, what happens is he has one or two good throws against Carolina. Eli's back. Bro, Eli put him in that position by his play early in the ball game. So now all of a sudden he plays well. Are we just going to talk about him almost bringing them back, or are we going to talk about him putting him in that position? I got no problem mm-hmm. if John Mara want to call out Odell, mm-hmm. and deservedly so, because my problem with Odell is that I'm going to say, you know what Odell doing is passion, his love for the game. How many guys have ever rallied around Odell when he does that? When Odell does that, how many times have it led to a victory? Mm-hmm. So because insanity is doing something over and over and hoping for a different result. Mm-hmm. Odell has done that and he hopes to rally his troop, but I see the same results. Mm-hmm. He lashes out, they lose. So who is he galvanizing? Who's rallying around him? But Eli, for him to poo-poo, it's almost, I heard a guy say, Skip, sometimes it's better to be rich and guilty as opposed to being poor and innocent. So, in other words, Eli is horrible and quiet. Mm. Odell is good and loud. That's the problem. Come on, John Mara. Who you think you're fooling? Every fan in New York knows Eli is the problem. He's not the solution, because here's the thing. You fall into two categories, Skip. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So what is Eli? Mm. He's a part of the problem. So is Odell. So what's the solution? Get Eli to play better, Odell would calm his antics down. I believe. Maybe not. Not to say that even if they went, even if Odell's going for 150 and two touchdowns, not to say they're going to win. Right. Right. But I don't care how great a player that you have at a skill position, be it running back or wide receiver, Skip, it's almost virtually impossible to overcome terrible QB play. Eric Dickerson had the most rush yards in NFL history. But when they got to the playoffs and they played a team, the quarterback couldn't do anything, they bottled him up. Adrian Peterson had the second most yards.
Look, by the way, the quarterback was Dieter Brock from Canada.
Well, he right now, Eli looks like Dieter Brock.
He does look like him. Seriously. Except Dieter Brock, they wouldn't even let him throw very much. They let Eli throw a whole lot.
And
it doesn't work.
But here's the problem with Eli, Skip. He's gotten gunshot by throwing the ball down the field. So he's perfectly fine to dumping it down to Saquon. Saquon, make 15 people miss and get me like 50 yards, and I'm going to look good at the end of the day.
So what's killing John Mara right now is he has not one, but he has the two most exciting skill position players in all of football in Odell and Saquon, right? Just on pure excitement, just on sensational play capability, right? Those are the two. And guess what? They're not very good. They're 24th in the league in yards. They're 27th in points scored. It's a quarterback's game. I always tell you, it's just the quarterback. It all starts and finishes with the quarterback. You either have him or you don't have him. And if you don't have him, you have no chance. And they are stuck with a washed-up Eli because they went forward with Saquon. We could debate that all day long. Again, is Saquon better than the quarterbacks left on the board? We could debate that. But the point is, that's the that was the bed they chose to lie in. So now they got to lie in it. And you cannot criticize what you, John, created because you recreated the monster who is Odell, the media monster.
Right.
Because this is, it's to your point. You always say that. You give somebody money and it's going to enhance their flaws, right?
Yes.
It's going to exaggerate their flaws, as you just said. So now they're being exaggerated. And the problem with Odell, the reason I wouldn't have given him his money is he plays an incredibly dependent position, receiver, because he can't throw the ball to himself.
No.
He can't even choose to throw the ball in his direction.
Right.
And yet he thinks that he's more valuable. Remember, he said, I want more money than quarterbacks get.
Right.
So he believes he's much better as a player at his position than Eli is at his. Mm-hmm. You could make the case that he is that now. But he can't force the football to him. So it's a lethal combination in the football context because you can't win that way.
No.
And I've told you this, I'm going to say it one more time. Michael Irvin was the only wide receiver leader of a team I was ever around. Mm-hmm. And it only worked because they weren't a passing football team.
Correct.
And Michael wanted his touches and catches and targets and all, but he did, all he cared about was winning football games. So he was driven, just hell-bent to be the leader of the football team on the field. He had his issues off the field, but when it was time to practice and play, nobody practiced and played harder than playmaker did.
Correct.
And it was when it was time to make the 3rd-and-10 catch in Washington or New York or Philly, he made the play.
Correct.
The playmaker did. Okay? He was the leader of teams that should have won 4 straight Super Bowls, but he's the only one I ever saw. I don't think Jerry Rice was the leader of his teams.
Mm-mm.
So now we're back to, can Odell be the leader of the
No. Not with his behavior.
No.
Michael's behavior, and the thing was, Skip, and you make a very good point, is that they were a running football team, and Michael, a lot of time, his antics was, guys, we got a block, too.
Yeah.
If we just going to run the ball, hey, put a hat on a hat, and let's move somebody off the ball to give Emmitt running lane.
Yeah.
And Emmitt, they block. We're going to need you to make one guy miss. We need you to make your play,
too. Second Buffalo Super Bowl played in Atlanta.
Right.
They were down to Jim Kelly and company at halftime.
Right.
And Michael went in and threw a fit in front of Jimmy and company saying, give the ball to 22. So he wasn't saying, throw it to 88.
Right.
Give it to Emmitt.
Because you think about what he said. He said, run the ball. He says, right now I can be more valuable, more helpful to the team run blocking than I can catch the pass. Because it was in the job, they were playing a lot of coverage. Because they says, okay, and this is what I used to tell TD. TD, they're playing cover two. They got 7 guys in the box. Run them out of this to make them drop that safety down so we can go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed and Rod and myself can start eating. That's what Michael was. Michael was about the team. Michael realized, I don't care. The way I looked at it, Michael, we were talking about it. If I'm playing another great tight end, Skip, my team wins, I'm better than you, bro. Because I won.
Well, what were you known as? Like one play show.
Yes!
Okay, so you won a Super Bowl in Baltimore with making one play a game.
But I understood your value has to be more than just catching for 100 yards.
Were you throwing fits on the sideline when you didn't get 10 targets?
No. But my
thing, I wonder what the most targets you got in a game that year would have been. Seriously, in Baltimore. Seriously.
Probably 7, 8.
Do you think that many? I'd be surprised if it was that high.
Well, no, not that. Yeah, because I did catch eight. I think I caught 8 passes one game against Tennessee. So probably 8, 9, or 10, something like that. It wasn't many.
It wasn't the Tennessee playoff game.
No. I only got one target. Okay. I got 2 targets. I caught one of them. But that's the thing, Skip. I got no problem. If John Mara wants to say, okay, Odell, you're doing a lot of talking, and the play is not matching the rhetoric that we hear you in the end. His problem was, Skip, I think he could have, you know, he doesn't like the sideline antics. I think it was the interview that really rubbed him the wrong way. Because he's like, hold on, you got $65 million of my dollars. You talking about you don't like New York?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, hold up. The guy that you said you don't know if he can do it or not, he's still your quarterback. He's criticizing him for criticizing Eli play. Mm-hmm. Now, should he have done that publicly? Probably not. Yep. But we know Eli's playing bad. I mean, John, we can see the game. I mean, even the fan, even the casual fan that doesn't know a whole lot about quarterbacks, they know Eli's playing terrible. And that's the thing. You're like, well, Eli has to play better. But you're basically saying, well, Eli's quiet. Mm-hmm. Eli's not causing ruckus. So his poor play goes unnoticed. Mm-hmm. We're losing. Odell's antics. And so now we see Odell. I said this last week, Skip. All Odell antics have done has allowed us to take the focus off Eli and how poorly he's playing and just focus on what Odell said and what he's doing on the sideline. Mm. But nah, you can't fool me. But here's again, Skip. Think about it. Saquon has been fabulous. They won one game. And why is that? Because the quarterback. I don't care how great talent you got at running back and wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Let your quarterback be trash and see how many games you win.
No, seriously, against the Eagles, Odell made 2 or 3 plays where he caught it and escaped. Yeah. I thought, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter.
But he got to catch the ball. I mean, but think about it. Saquon got to shake 15 guys just to get 10 yards.
No.
Eli's gun shy because he's taking sacks and he's gun shy. He doesn't trust his arm to throw the ball down the field anymore. He doesn't feel he can put the ball in the windows, in the pockets that he once could. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? When that happens, it's time to move on. Mm.
Didn't John Mara also say it's up to the coaching staff to decide Eli's fate?
Ben McAdoo tried to do that last year.
Wait, he got fired over that.
Yes. Yeah. Which you gave your blessing to. I believe, I don't know this to be true, I believe John Mara gave Ben McAdoo his blessing to see Eli down because he saw how bad he was playing. But the uproar, the fans, fans are very nostalgic. Eli won us 2 Super Bowls. We beat Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He was compensated for that. What has Eli shown you since, though? They've only been to one playoff since that last Super Bowl win. And you don't get a lifetime contract, Skip, if you win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin had to find that out, too. Now, they moved on from Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. He won 2 Super Bowls with Eli.
Yep.
They fired him. Well, they asked him, you know, he retired. You know, he said he wanted to step aside and do some other thing. Mm-hmm. Funny how he went in the interview for the Philly job, but that's neither here nor there. There comes a time, we all have shelf life, Skip, and Eli's time, they should have moved on in that direction last year. I get it. Saquon is going to be fabulous. But, Skip, if you don't have a quarterback, you're going to waste Saquon. Hmm. You wasted it.
So they're about to miss the playoffs for the 5th time in 6 years? Oh,
yeah.
Really? The New York football Giants? That's not good. That's not good for the league, man.
Mm. I don't know.
But it's Odell keep on, you know, it's Odell lashing out. Mm. Odell, I don't agree with Odell antics, but I don't agree with Eli's play. Mm. I agree less with that.
The play and walking to the locker room early, that wouldn't be a good move for me.
Well, I mean, if Eli, my quarterback, played like that, I might have left it in the first quarter.
You would not.
I might have left it the first quarter. He played like that. Skip me.
See you later.
Sometimes your quarterback was playing like that. And
even Trent. Trent didn't play. Think about it, Skip. Oh, Trent won 11 games in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, Trent.
I'm not sure how, but go ahead.
But because you know he had knew who he was and what he was.
Okay. It wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's the key. No
mercy. All right, Tom Brady, 41. He's been saying for a while that he wants to play into his mid-40s. He was asked about it Monday and said, quote, "That's been one of my goals for a long time. I tell a lot of people that." Well, he definitely gave that message to Rob Gronkowski at the end of Sunday's big win against the Chiefs. You got to hear this.
Forever. You know that. Kidding me? Forever. You know that.
I don't know why I love this video so much, but Shannon is already eye rolling. So what do you make of it?
Trash can's a little farther away. I would regurgitate what I ate this morning.
Regurgitate?
Yeah. Wow. First of all, Skip, he's just excited. It was a big win.
Yes.
It was a primetime game. Great come from behind win, 43-40, walk off, boom. Where's that excitement after Jacksonville lost? He didn't say he was going to play forever. Mm-mm. See, this is what happens after big wins. People say things, you get carried away. This is why they tell you do not make decisions in an emotional time, be it win or lose. Sure. You stay level-headed. You make sure you get some time to calm down. Mm-hmm. See, and there's a possibility that he might play forever. It's not because quarterbacks are getting better. It's because quarterbacks are getting afforded more protections. So when you protect him more, where there's less likelihood for injury from a hit, well, theoretically, he could. This notion that all of a sudden Tom Brady hadn't gotten any better. Tom Brady's the same quarterback. He hadn't got worse. Put it like this. When you're a sprinter, sprinters know what I'm talking about. When you run the 100-meter skip, the guy that can decelerate the least is the guy that wins the race. Tom Brady has decelerated the least as far as ability from the time he was, say, 35 to where he is now.
But sprinters don't last into their 40s.
I'm saying winning the race as far as deceleration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Just stick with me, Skip. Work with me, Skip. Work with me. Mm-hmm. So Tom Brady is not getting better. He's afforded more protection. He can't get hit in the head. You can't land on him. You can't hit him in his knee. You can't put your helmet in his back. So he's afforded these protections that allow him to do this. And so same with the receiver, the illegal contact, all these penalties that help the offenses are up, which greatly decreased the chances of the quarterback or wide receivers getting injured. So I get it. Skip, I get it. That, you know, he wants to play until he's 45. Maybe he wants to prove people that he can play 22, 23 years. But that might be a possibility because of the rule protections for the quarterback. Now, it's hard for me to believe that Coach Belichick wanted to move on without Gronk last year, that he's going to be deterred. Say, you know what? What I saw this year, a year later, makes me want to bring him back for several more years. Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely now that Coach Belichick probably would move on from Gronk after this season. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom Brady might threaten to retire, and Coach Belichick this time around might call his bluff.
Hmm. So, the game I watch every Sunday, the quarterbacks still get hit, and they get hit a lot.
Stop it, Skip.
They get
Stop
rocked.
It. Stop
Sometimes
it, Skip.
They, when
Stop
they're
it.
Just
Stop
standing
it.
up,
Stop
you
it,
hit
Skip.
Them, you can blast the quarterback. You can rock the quarterback.
Stop it, Skip. You know the quarterback is afforded more protection.
Sorry.
They're not?
I'm sorry.
They're not afforded more protection.
You just can't fall on them. You can't, with all your body weight, you can't crush them when you hit them full force. You can't follow through with your hit.
That's protection.
Okay? Well, that's how you break collarbones.
Okay.
But they don't wear a flag. You can still hit them all you want to hit them. I see people get knocked. Dak Prescott gets ripped. At Seattle. He got hits, knocked sideways. You can hit the quarterback hard.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
No, you can't. Where can you hit him hard?
Just Anytime. The side? Just when side. He's standing up in the pocket. You can hit him from the side.
You can't hit him from the back. You can't put your face mask in his back. You can't put it in his chest. You can't.
Or your shoulder and just hit him full speed.
But I can hit him full speed, but somehow I have to land on me or let him land on top of me.
Well, you can't just follow through and body weight him.
Think about what you're saying.
I think I'm saying they get hit a lot, and they could get hurt. Quarterbacks are going to get hurt. Watch how many quarterbacks
can
get
I
hurt.
Take the quarterback down like I do a running back?
Yeah, you can.
So I can fall on the running back, but I can't fall on
the
quarterback.
Well, I mean, you can't in the pocket. Okay. You can't follow through when they're not even watching you.
How can I hit the running back? Can I hit him anytime? We're in the backfield.
You can't lower your head and hit him, right?
No, I haven't seen him call that penalty yet.
Okay, all right. So the point is that does he get carried away after a game? Well, I told you, he is some other guy. He is Psycho Tom. He goes somewhere else. Well, he's always cheesy. That's at heart what he is. He can be cliched, cheesy,
golly gee,
nerdy.
Yeah, all those. Keep on going.
Lame.
Yep.
You can go all those things. He's also the greatest player who ever played the game of football.
I wouldn't go that far, but go ahead.
Well, he is.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he continues to prove that on the biggest stages at the highest level.
13-6 proves that. 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions proves he's the greatest right now.
The greatest in the history of the game?
No, right now. I'm talking about right now.
Yeah. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. I know that.
12-1, that's not what 12-1 says.
7th best QBR versus 18th best QBR. I'd say that just says, ooh, that's Tom Brady. Interesting. So, and remember, Tom Brady played with both his hands tied behind his back because he went for four games and he didn't have Edelman or Josh Gordon, right? So now he's got two receivers. So he's got two real receivers.
Where's Geronimo Allison?
Okay, I don't care. Carr. I don't care. This is about Tom Brady.
But see, that's what you do.
But here's the point. What he told Jim Gray on Westwood One on, what was it, Monday evening?
Did he clear that interview with the Patriots?
I don't know. He gets paid for it. So, yeah, he did. They know he's going to do it every Monday without fail. He's going to do WEEI, and then he's going to do Westwood One.
So you believe he cleared that?
I don't know if he cleared it.
Okay, I'm just checking. Because, you know, the Giants were upset because Odell didn't clear that interview. Okay. But true. I'm just saying, well, go ahead, Skip. I'll get your point.
So Tom Brady told Jim Gray, it's fun for me. That's the operative word. He is having fun. He's 41 years of age. He has discovered this thing called pliability, which he says saves him because it helps him absorb the hits that he takes.
That's what he goes by now? Yeah. Pliability?
Pliability. And he said, and this is a quote, I still love the training. It's hard, man. What you have to put your body and your mind through to play quarterback in this league is hard. Yeah, and when you're 41 years of age, it's hard.
He ain't training that hard. You saw his body with his shirt off. So clearly he ain't training that hard. Mm. So stop it, Skip Bayless, with the training. He needs to stop it also.
Ability.
That's what they call it now?
You got to get longer to absorb the blows. Because if you lift too heavy and too much, you get tight. Your muscles get tight and they tend to snap shut when you get
what
hit.
With the exception of Cam Newton, what quarterback you know had muscles?
Not
none.
Yeah.
All of them have narrow shoulders.
Yeah, but he's because saying you got to make them longer than ever. You got to lengthen your
muscles. No, all it does is that you don't have muscle, they're covered by something else. They get elasticity because they're like, what, fat?
I still love the training. I love the
competition. He waved arm down here. He waved all this just wiggling, just jiggling. You know that. So? Yeah, tell the truth. If you're going to why you think you got that sleeve on? If you know, look at the sleeve, Skip.
Yeah.
You try to hold it
hiding
in.
Hiding something?
Yeah. You don't want to tell the truth.
Training also includes practicing.
Yeah.
You just practice. You're out early, and you're the last one off the practice field because you just keep throwing it and throwing it and throwing it to Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon until you are on
Rob
Gronkowski wavelength.
Same Chris Hogan.
And all of a sudden, he is eating this up. He's like a little kid playing at 41, and we've never in the history of this league seen this happen ever before like this.
We've never
playing
seen
at this level.
We've never seen quarterbacks get the protection. Skip Bayless, you know, as you got older, if you could had to take those hits that the Elways and the Aikmans and the Renos were taking, you know, Skip, he would not be lasting this long.
Sure, it helps some, but not. They're still not. They don't have flags on. They don't wear
basically
a red jersey.
Basically, they do. Yeah. Basically, they do.
Really? So you can't hit them at all?
That's you can hit them, Skip. I got to go in my mind. I can't just put my shoulder until you're like, now I got to, I can't land on him, so I got to land on my knees. Hmm. Or I got to somehow take him down and land on the side of him. I can't have time to be thinking about that.
He throws. Well, I personally love the rules because it's a quarterback's game, and you don't want to see the quarterback get hurt.
I get
you want to see the quarterback
get
hurt?
I get all of that.
I don't.
So, in other words, he's getting protected more. So, the quarterbacks aren't getting better. It's just the protection that affords them to know. I mean, it's just like anything, Skip. People will continue to do things if there's no chance of who stops doing something if there's no repercussions.
Mm.
There's no repercussions for him standing in the pocket and looking down the field because they know they can only hit him a certain way.
Mm.
Come on, Skip.
Well, all I know is he won the MVP last year. He threw for a playoff all-time record 505 in the Super Bowl. That's hard.
He took that L. He took that L.
Yeah, but he threw for 505 yards and put up 33 points.
LeBron James had 51-8-8. 51-8-8. Home team, that's what he had. Mm-hmm. And what he takes, Skip Bayless?
Mm. But did his defense give up like 180 points?
No, J.R. just forgot where he was. That's all that happened. J.R. was in a game one of the NBA Finals and forgot where he was.
LeBron knew exactly where he was and he wouldn't take the shot.
See? Well, Tom Brady knew exactly where he was and he dropped the ball.
Mm.
He dropped the ball, knew exactly where he was. No, he needed 8 points to get
505 yards.
See,
so it's killing you because you were forced out of the game at 35. And this guy's saying, I'm going to play until I'm 45. And what did you tell me? You just got tired of it.
I got tired of the meeting.
Yeah.
And what the training, because clearly, if you look at the picture, you know, I'd have been real thirsty back then because I'd have been posting everything because I was showing up to work back then. Mm. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of the meetings. I need some things to keep, like practice. I could like talk to guys and, you know, had a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm finna give you the business. Come on in here and let's go one-on-one. But in the meeting room, plus I'm watching film at home. I'm seeing this over and over. I don't want to see it. I'm tired. No, it's not that I'm jealous of Tom Brady, but I'm just giving you facts that the rules have made it conducive.
Okay, fine, but that's for everybody. But this guy's going to play until he's 45.
They didn't. What rules? What rules they make for the defender?
This is fun for him. What did I tell you on Monday? He's never had more fun than he had on Sunday night because that was a shootout with the hottest young quarterback. Okay. So he's going up against, how old's the kid? 23 or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so he just, he outscored a 23-year-old. You don't think that made him feel pretty good at 41?
Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, you started covering NFL football and say 75. Mm-hmm. That's safe assumption, 75?
Me?
Yeah.
74?
74, yeah. Okay. 74. You started covering football in 74. Yeah. 40 plus years. Mm-hmm. Of all the quarterbacks you covered, how many of them said before these new, before the rules came in, they wanted to play into their 40s? Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, all Joe Montana, Steve Young, this one, that one. How many?
Roger
now
did.
Now look at him now. Roger played 10 years.
Mm-hmm. But he
did serve time in the military.
He didn't start until he's 28 years old. But he was forced out at 38 because of concussions.
Oh, because what can they do, Skip? They could argue, they could suplex you. They could do everything. Everything was fair game.
What was his nickname?
Roger the Dodger.
Thank you. So he's running with the football down the field, and he's getting ripped.
Well, his offensive, he had to run. It wasn't like he wanted to run. But like all I'm saying is this. You never heard any of these guys say they want to play into their 40. You hear Drew Brees say he want to play into his 40. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roth. All these guys want to play now.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
Skip,
I want Drew Brees to play until he's 50.
I want
Tom Brady to play until he's 60.
I don't know about that.
I'm saying the 60? Rules afford these kind of conversations.
Hmm. Well, good for the NFL. It finally joined the party that we all love to watch.
I would be doing this right here, busting you up.
Nothing's better,
right?
For the
very foreseeable future. Yeah.
I don't think you train hard enough.
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy. No mercy. Well, our next guest is a hip-hop legend turned actor. You can catch him in The Deuce on HBO right now. Method Man, welcome to Undisputed.
I threw my grill in this morning for
y'all.
I like it.
All the diamonds on me.
All right.
Shining, baby, shining. Y'all know what it is.
Thank you for being here. No, to get us started, tell us about season 2 of The Deuce.
All right, season 2 of The Deuce is already being shown on HBO, 9 o'clock Sundays. It's basically 7 years after the first season. A lot of things have changed. Some of the main characters, some have changed for the better, some for the worse. Myself included. Rodney's in a bad way right now. Candy, but Candy's character, she's on her come up. She's starting to do the whole behind the camera thing with the porno. Right. But the pimps are, CeCe, for instance, he doesn't know, you know, where does the pimp start and where does, you know, business begin? Right. I mean, it's real confusing. It's real confusing right now, but I love the writing from George Pelicanos, David Simon, Nina K. Noble. They're so hands-on with everything that, you know, they're tapping the vein of pop culture.
Yeah. So you have become a force as an actor. Obviously, The Wire, The Deuce.
Thank you.
You've got other projects. Yeah. They're going to do a Wu-Tang project on Hulu, right?
They
You're
going to
executive produce
I got
that.
An EP credit. Yep. Skip.
There you go. That's big time.
Yes, I did.
So obviously, we've seen a number of rappers go from rapping to acting.
Yeah.
Our man Ice Cube, Ice-T, Common. We can go. But still, you've made a big, successful crossover.
Thank you.
Which means more to you? Which is more satisfying to you, what you did with Wu-Tang or what you continue to do or acting?
You know what? I think all of it. I have to say all of it because I'm an all-around entertainer. I like to think I'm multifaceted. There's nothing that I can't do, I can't learn to do. Music got me here. Acting's going to keep me here. Hosting Drop the Mic, well, you know, that's a great little diversion from what I'm trying to do, but it's a great gig. We got great guests, and I'm happy, man. I'm happy, content.
Are you amazed at the endurance of Wu-Tang, the longevity of its legend and popularity?
I used to be. I didn't get it at first. I was never a music fanatic like that, you know? But as the years went on, and we got older, and our fans grew with us, and they just wouldn't let go. It was like, okay, we got something here. I think we may be like what people would call a cult classic. You know what I mean? So, I mean, when we started out, it was, we were like, it was if you understood Wu-Tang philosophy, you were in the in crowd, so to speak. So you had a bunch of people that were maybe squares and didn't fully understand, but they wanted to be in that in crowd and gravitated to Wu-Tang. This is why to this day, you may see, nothing against female fans, but you may see a female fan wearing a Wu-Tang t-shirt. But if you asked her to name one member, she wouldn't be able to do it.
How were you guys able to carve out a niche? Because you got to think about New York, that's where it all started. How were you guys able to carve out a niche in such a heavily populated rap community?
Well, we did opposite of what was going on at that era. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of suit wearing. This was just us trying to be accepted enough that our category would be televised at the Grammys. So we needed to do that.
Right.
We needed to throw on the suits and things like that. But we went opposite. Everybody that we identified with didn't have suits. Everybody that we identified with didn't have expensive jewelry or cars. So we were coming from the bottom, and we were happy to represent the bottom, and a lot of people came up with us, so I think that was it. Hmm.
And what is this Hulu project? Because it's about an American saga.
Yeah, you know that, you know what? When people do movies and stuff and they say based on a true story, there's a lot of leeway in that word based. So this is kind of based on our origins. It's gonna be some things that weren't in our history at all, but we're trying to make a TV show and to reflect the struggle that Wu-Tang went through from where we started to where we got. And right now, Alex, one of the writers, him and RZA are, you know, speaking to individual clan members, trying to get it grounded enough that people, you know, when they watch it,
RZA's
they'll say they can
help him write it?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the story is basically his story. He started the group and everything. Yeah. So if you're going to do an origin story, why not start with that? Mm. Yeah.
And speaking of high-profile entertainers, what are your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr. and what he's going through with those Giants?
You know what? I recently seen that game where they got slaughtered by Philadelphia. I had a matter of fact, I did a show in Philadelphia that Saturday, and I let Philly know my disdain, all right, for their team. Odell, well, when I watched the game, after the game was over, the commentators, and I know you guys, you know, you have a job to do and things of that nature, and you have to, you know, call players out and things of that nature. But this one commentator, female, she said she just kept nailing that thing home. 95 million. What is it, 95, 90?
65 million guaranteed.
Yeah, just kept, this is the 90, and then they'll show, you know, they show a picture of Saquon Barkley, you know, just made the run. Right. Then they show a picture of Odell, it's like, you know, so I'm like, well, okay, don't pick on the guy like that. You don't have to keep nailing it home. We know how much money that he got in this deal. My thing is, Odell has a lot of passion. Now, if this was somebody else besides Odell, they would say, oh, he's trying to rally his team. That's passion right there. But since it's Odell, it's like, oh, he's being a crybaby. He's doing this, that. I don't see it that way.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, that's passion. Right. He's trying to rally his troops.
Right.
As many times you see him do this, how many times has he rallied the troops?
Well, yeah, okay, point taken. But I'll tell you this, he feels like any player on that team would feel that if he contributes, they have a better chance of winning.
Right.
So if they can get him the ball, he feels like, I'm gonna make something happen. Mm-hmm. And that's and when that's not happening, I guess, you know, that Odell, that passion, like I said, it's gotta
I would
be passion.
You know what, you know, Math, I would agree with you. Right. But I've seen Odell, when they lose, go for 11, a buck 50, and two touchdowns, and he doesn't lash out like this, even though they're losing.
Right.
So if that would be the argument. When he made that one-hand catch, he wasn't banging his head. The Cowboys blew him out. And they lost.
That game. Right.
So that's the argument that I'm saying, okay, I get it. If he acting out like this led his team to rally around him, they won game, okay, Odell, keep doing it. Right. If you lose a game and you catch 11 for a buck 50, two touchdowns, and you act like losing, okay. But you can't pick and choose, like, I just want to win. When I seen you lose, as long as you get your numbers you don't complain.
Okay.
That's my problem with Odell.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great, great point right there. Yeah. I could definitely see that. But there are more than just one player on that Giants team, and a
your
lot of people need to be called to test.
Your quarterback.
Yes, sir. And I've rode with Eli over the years. Never really been a big Eli fan. I was always more Peyton. Yeah. But Eli, let me just say this. When he's on and he has time to pick a defense apart, no one better I'd rather have in the game, especially in the Super Bowl. But when Eli gets rattled, it just seems like, And I know he's a smart guy. I'm not saying anything about his intelligence, but it just seems like the tongue comes out and it's like, duh. What are we doing here?
True.
Right, yep. Right.
He looks lost.
And the coaching. Let's put the ball in the hands of the right players.
You just got a new coach.
I know. Let's put the ball in the hands of the right players. I know Saquon is getting his numbers because they're giving him the ball. They're finding out ways to get him the ball. It's like what the Saints did with Kamara. Mm-hmm. He's so multifaceted. It's like you could just hand him the ball, but they find so many other different ways to use him. Mm.
I mean, we're running out of coaches now. You got rid of Coach Tomlin. You got rid of McAdoo. So you're your third coach in about 4 years.
I think that McAdoo wasn't fair at all. I mean, sure, Eli got benched for that game, but coaches don't make those decisions. Mm. Those come from the top. So if you should be mad at anyone, I mean, you should be mad at the guys at the top for sitting there, their past franchise player.
So give
Eli.
Us a quick thought on this. You're bi-coastal, Staten Island and L.A.
Yeah.
What impact will LeBron have on Los Angeles, on Hollywood?
I think LeBron is going to shake up the playoffs. On the West.
Shake them up!
Shake up the playoffs on the West. I don't think those guys are going to go this year. I don't think so. I think that the finals are going to be, just my opinion, Golden State and the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But LeBron brings so much to a team, you know, you're going to be a contender, period. So they're going to be in those. They're going to make some playoffs. They may make it to the first round, maybe not the second round. Hopefully they do, because that just adds on to the mystique.
LeBron don't go out in the first round.
So if they meet Golden State in an earlier round, will they scare them? Will they push them a little bit?
I hope so. But you never know with those games because sometimes, you know, he's always on, but the team isn't. The team isn't always on with him, so.
Man, you saw what JR did.
What JR did, and that's not the first time JR did some craziness like that. Shout out to JR Smith. We share the last name, but not the same mentality.
That's funny.
Yes, sir.
Truth.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, thank you for being here today.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys. It's always fun. It's always fun to be here.
Good looking, bro.
Shannon, you know we love you, brother. Yeah, you're invited to the cookout. Hey, Skip, you're halfway there. You're almost invited to the cookout, brother.
Almost.
Not quite. Almost. When you stop the LeBron hate, we'll be there.
Man, he thirsty.
Unfortunately.
He's going to be posting.
He's going to
be
definitely invited. Thank you. Definitely. I appreciate it. Well,
yeah,
no,
he thirsty. He can't come to the cookout. He'll be posting.
Welcome back. No mercy. The Celtics had their full lineup with Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward back in the fold in their season opener against the Sixers last night. Boston had no problem taking it right to Joel Embiid. Jaylen Brown tried to throw it down against him and the shot got in. Then Jason Tatum hit a shot over Joel Embiid, then on the way back gave him a wink. The Celtics have beaten the Sixers 8 out of the last 10 games, including the playoffs. After the game, Joel talked about the so-called rivalry.
This is not a rivalry. I don't know our record against them, but it's pretty bad. They always kick our ass. So this is not a rivalry, and you mentioned that earlier. So we just got to, you know, work together and figure it out.
We are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Stephen Jackson. Stephen, what was your takeaway from last night's game?
How can you not love Embiid? How can you not love him? One of my favorite players. Yes, I love it. You know, I love that. It was a great game, great opener for the NBA. I think everybody's seen the first 5-6 minutes. How was the first game? So many turnovers, everybody missing layups. But for the most part, you could tell that guys on both teams worked on their one-on-one game. It was so much one-on-one and so many moves from summer workouts done in the first half. It was unbelievable. But when it came down to it, you see that Philly definitely needs some help. Embiid and Simmons, they can't do it all. They won't win the East with that team. Boston is just too deep. They can go 10 deep. They got nine guys that can start on any NBA team. They're going to be hard to beat. And by Kyrie not having a good game and they're still able to win the way they did, I think coming towards the end of the season, they can stay healthy. That's the only team I see that can really compete with Golden State.
Mm. I agree with everything you just said. Boston is just a better overall team. They're deep. They're deep, Skip. I mean, you got Rozier coming off the bench. You got Morris coming off the bench. You got guys coming off the bench that in a normal situation, they'll be starters. Ben Simmons is phenomenal. 19, 15, and 8. Skip, if he ever got a shot from 10 feet, That's it. I'm not saying he needs to shoot 15, 18, 20, 3. If he can shoot from 10 feet, mm-hmm. Skip, he's going to average 20. He could be Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can. He will.
Because if you remember, Skip, when Magic got in, Magic didn't shoot an outside shot. He developed that set push shot, and he got good. He got the way he could shoot it from three-point range.
Yep.
Ben Simmons, I mean, he 9 of 21. He'll be better. He's a 50-plus percent field goal percentage guy. But outside of that, these other guys didn't play very well. But you know what? Here's something that bears watching. Jason Tatum. I'm not so sure that even when Kyrie plays his best night, that Jason Tatum might be the best player on this ball club.
Mm. Wow.
That's going to be very, very interesting, Skip, because you know Kyrie said one of the reasons also that he left is that he wanted his own team. And I told you, there's an old saying that says you got to be careful because you can make your destiny on the very road you took to avoid it. Now, there's a good chance, Skip, he might move on to the Knicks. But there's another guy that the Knicks are in play for also, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if KD, we don't know, we're speaking hypothetically, he leaves the Knicks.
Mm.
Kyrie would have been on three teams, and he's not the guy. Because if KD goes to the Knicks and Kyrie goes to the Knicks,
you'd be talking championship.
It's not his team, though. Mm-hmm. But Boston is loaded. Mm. I'm going to be shocked if they don't win 60-plus.
Mm.
I'm going to be shocked. And I agree with you. This is the only team that can compete with Golden State. I'm not saying they can beat them, Skip, but they can compete with them. It won't be a sweep. It won't be a 4-1. This is going to go. This would be a long series come playoff time. Mm.
Kyrie did not look right last night. He didn't look explosive. He didn't look confident in his legs underneath him. But that will change over time as he starts to play his way back into game shape. So my takeaway were a couple here. But the first one is I'm watching Philly, and I'm saying the two most dominant players on the court belong to the 76ers. In this game last night, the two most dominant players are that big center and that point, whatever he is.
Point player.
Yeah, he's a point player.
Yeah.
But they're just dominating. But last year, that team took off because they added Bellinelli and Ilyasova, and they started just bombing threes along with Redick.
Right.
And those two are gone. And I don't know, they got Wilson Chandler, and he had a pulled hamstring, so he couldn't play last night. But they tried to start Markelle Fultz, so they're trying to force-feed him into the lineup. And I got to tell you, I didn't love him before the draft, and I still don't love him. And in the second half, they had to go back to starting J.J. Because J.J. can still just shoot the lights out. But even though he made a few, they shot 19.2% from three, and that's why the score was what it was, because you got to make a few more than that. I mean, Steven Jackson would have made like five last night. Am I right about that?
Facts, easy. Yeah,
facts.
But at least J.J., what J.J. can give you that Fultz can't is that he can spread the floor.
He can.
Ain't nobody worried about Markelle Fultz shooting no three?
Nope.
Not at all.
But worried about shooting anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Just shooting.
I know. So to your point, Boston goes 10 deep. I mean, seriously, their second team is really good, man. It was kind of the team that got them through the playoffs last year and upset Philly last year.
They had nine guys play at least 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
I mean, the only problem they're going to have is who plays when.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stuff going on there because, hey, Rozier and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart, they can play, man.
Brad did a good job last night. Kyrie wasn't going, so he let Rozier finish the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of nights like that.
So Kyrie shot 2 for 14, and they just pulled away. Wow.
But Stacks, here's the thing, though. That's good in week one. That's good opening night. But as you get later in the season, Rozier closing those games, how that going to make Kyrie feel?
Well, you're rooting hard against Kyrie.
I ain't no reason you go rooting.
But look,
I'm just telling you.
But if you notice last night, the first guy off the bench came in and got Brown. And they had Rozier and Kyrie in together.
They
so Kyrie will be playing a lot of two because Rozier, he earned his minutes.
Yeah,
he earned his minutes.
And playoffs, he played well.
I think what Brad Stevens does well that I don't see a lot of coaches doing, from 1 through 15, everybody has that confidence to go out there and play with the green light, but also play together. I don't know how he gets that, teaches his team that, but they all play together and all play confident.
Them jokers play hard on defense, too.
Yes.
So, to the point that you made about Embiid, he swallowed it after the game and he said, this ain't no rivalry because they're just kicking our behinds, okay? So, I give you that, but I got two bones I'm going to pick with two Celtics last night in the second half because first one is the play in question, Jenny pointed out.
Yeah.
The Jaylen Brown play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he stared down Embiid after this play. But did he call glass? Wasn't that just pure luck to even make the shot?
That was a block.
Both hands on the basketball, right? So both hands are on the ball, and it accidentally goes
slips
in.
Slips out of his hand and goes in off the glass.
But okay,
this one the phrase comes in. always be aggressive. You never know what'll happen.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But if you make that shot, are you going to go down this court staring down at
me? No, not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
So we got that one. So now we get to this one. And I love Jason Tatum, and you're right. Maybe he will wind up being better than Kyrie, but that's a mouthful you just said because Kyrie's got some legacy going. But it's later in the game. It's starting to be a blowout, and he puts a move on Embiid. He's got Embiid on him, and he goes up and shoots a jumper. But Embiid's all over it and makes him shoot it too high, and he banks it in. And it's a luck shot. He did not call bank from straight on. Nobody's going to shoot that shot off the glass. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back down the court and winks at him like, I gotcha. A gotcha wink. No, you didn't.
Everybody watched that play would have been like, and be great defense.
Yeah, it was
just
great.
Better offense, but great defense. No, you can't play better defense than
that. Well, I don't know if it's better offense. It's just really good defense.
Really good defense.
You made him do what you needed to make him do, right. And the ball lucked in.
But okay?
Well, are the Celtics that full of themselves that they're going to be staring down after those two shots?
But it's going to be interesting. How do they it's the first game and it's easy. But how do these minutes get divvied up? Gordon Hayward, he's not going to go 4-12. Kyrie's not going to go 2-14. What do you do? What do you do then?
Well, that's when Brad Stevens is going to be smart, because when Kyrie going, you know you got to leave him out there.
Right.
You got to let him roll.
Anyone just said, but what about me, though? Bro, I need this.
Yeah, everybody ain't going to get going. But the good thing about it, like we saw last year, they don't mind playing for each other. They don't care who gets the glory. They just want to win.
Yeah. I'll tell you
it's
what
it's easy
I
to
think.
Play when that guy ain't there, when Kyrie and Gordon ain't there.
Way more shots. Yeah.
I have never been the biggest Gordon Hayward fan, and I thought they overpaid for what he can do, because he can do this, but he can't do this.
Right.
To me, every time I watch Marcus Morris play, he just does really big, good things for this team. To me, he's better than Gordon Hayward.
He's going to be the odd man
seriously.
Out. Gordon Hayward's going to be the odd man out.
That's why I said at some point, when push comes to shove and you got to win the basketball game, I'm going with Marcus Morris.
You got to go with your pit bulls. You got to go
because he making big shot. He hitting three big three. He gonna play tough D. Now
he had 16 and 10 last night. But 20 minutes.
But you, that's crazy.
Yeah. But you know, but see what happened. You remember last time he started talking? He better not talk. Oh, he got LeBron. He do a good job on LeBron. You know what?
Yeah.
Skip, you remember that, Skip?
Yeah. I do.
And I told you what was going to happen. I put that call in LeBron. I said, LeBron, put that work on him.
Did you tell LeBron?
I said, LeBron, give him that work.
You didn't even have to call him. He was going to do that anyway.
LeBron came out there with them old red wings on and a hard hat. Mm-hmm. Gave him straight work, Skip.
No, he can't hang with that guy.
Nobody can. Well, and nobody can.
Well, I mean, except for Kevin
Durant. No. Kevin Durant, no.
Don't
stop.
Do that.
Stop.
Don't do that.
You know good and well Kevin Durant ain't D'ing up LeBron. Stop, Stacks.
I don't know about that.
Nobody in the world D'ing up LeBron. But if I had two players to guard him, I would want KD and Kawhi.
Ooh, I want them too. That's who I want. Yeah. We gonna cook them. They got enough bricks in their back pocket. They got enough, because you know LeBron go back down. You know you turn around on that one leg. You saw the three, right, Skip?
Oh, man, that was amazing.
You see that? You heard what Stacks said? That was amazing.
I wish we had time to talk about this.
You can't teach that.
You can't teach it.
We'll have plenty more time. Steven, thank you for joining us. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.